So we've been doing a sermon series this Advent about the presence of God and how that shows up in our lives. And this is tricky. How do I know this is God's voice? How do I know I'm actually encountering God and it's not like the pizza I had last night? Are there ways in which I might... Maybe I'm the only one who gets nervous sometimes when people say, God told me this or God told me that. I'm a pastor, and sometimes I'll be like, really? Right? Like, help me understand. Are there markers? Are there things that we might be able to say, this is how God works, speaks, acts? This is how God's presence can be deciphered. And I've been trying to suggest that the candles that we light might help, that God's presence comes and brings hope. So the voice in your head that beats you down all the time is not the voice of God, telling you you're not good enough, telling you you are defined by your worst moment, telling you, right, that you failed in all kinds of ways. That's God's presence doesn't bring depression, anxiety, and terror. God's presence brings hope, and God's presence brings joy, and God's presence brings peace. And I want to talk a little bit about that today. So here's the quiz. Maybe one of the kids, maybe. We'll see. So we read two passages about angels coming to humans. What's the first thing the angel says? Children! Oh, such simple instructions. We're all God's children. Look at that. A on the test. 15 points to Gryffindor. The angels come, and the first thing they say is, don't be afraid. And we read just Luke 1, Luke 2, right? But there's tons of these examples. Matthew 28, the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid. Literally, first thing out of the angel's mouth every time. Genesis 15, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Genesis 26, from there he went up to Beersheba. That night the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the Lord your God, Father of Abraham. Do not be afraid. I could have 15 more of these, right? We could just go through Scripture. Do not be afraid, do not be afraid, do not be afraid. Okay, so now this is going to be a lot of participation today. Why? Why is that the first thing that the angel says? Why is it so important? Don't be afraid. Why? What do you think?
Because you can't receive the gift without, you're afraid, you can't receive the honest.
So I can't receive whatever gift the angel wants to bring or whatever message God wants to bring if I'm afraid. What is it about fear that makes it so that I can't hear what the gift or what the angel might say, what the message might be? What is it about fear that makes that hard?
Paralysis
or like fight or flight in some way, maybe?
No trust.
If I'm afraid, I don't trust. If I don't trust, then it's really hard to receive. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to bring in someone to help you that you don't trust. In fact, you probably wouldn't do that. If I'm afraid of the person, I want to keep them at arm's distance. So fear puts up barriers. Fear makes me frozen. Fear keeps me distrustful. And not like, I think of fear, I also think of things like anxiety, insecurity. These are all forms of fear, right? So it's not just terror. It's also the notion of, what does everyone think of me? It's like my own insecurities keep me stalled. What else about fear that's so damaging that God and the angels, the first thing they want to say is to not be afraid? What is it about it? What do you think?
We often run away from it.
I'm going to avoid it if I can. How do you run away from fear?
Turn it off.
Yeah. I zone out. Anyone else like self-medicate with Netflix?
Play games.
Video games.
Alcohol.
Prescription drugs. And I'm not suggesting prescription drugs are bad, right? Like, people need them. They change lives. But it also can be a way of, I can't deal. My anxiety is out of control. My My anxiety around my family, like during the holidays, right, can go up. You have to travel. We have to sit around, and I got to talk to a second cousin I don't really know, right? I mean, all these things make it even harder. But the more anxious I am and fearful I am, you can see how that makes it so I can't connect, right? The only way to actually connect is to get over some of that stuff, to deal with it in, like, head on. But running is a common way. It's just not always physically running. It's running in my mind. Jackie?
I was thinking expectations. What are you going to be expecting of me?
Ooh, yeah. I'm just thinking about, like, if it's an angel or God, like, man, that seems like maybe some high expectations. Like, whoa, 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 I'm not going to Pharaoh or anything, am I? I don't have to, like, risk my life for this. But that is anxiety producing, right? So one of the things I think God wants is, like, Joe, trust me. Don't be afraid. And then comes the catch. I mean, this is literally, this is how the scriptures and the Bible work, right? It's like, don't be afraid. Shh, it's going to be okay. Trust me. Now, leave your entire land and all of your family and go to a place that you don't know yet. I thought you said not to be afraid, and then you did something that's terrifying, right? But the idea is, even in the midst of turmoil or transition, if I can learn to connect and to trust, right, then I can actually go through what God has in store with a sense of peace, with an absence of fear. So, like, where does this start? God doesn't start with the ask. God starts with the relationship. Draw close. Come near. Trust me. See that I'm trustworthy. Remember all the times I've been with you. You've gotten through. You've been raised up or forgiven or empowered or strengthened. Remember all the ways in which, and by drawing on that, it's easier not to be afraid. It's easier to take a deep breath. It's easier to say yes to what God has in store next. So today's candle is the candle of peace. What are the things that steal your peace, that keep you from having peace? I mean, obviously we could say fear. That's a good one, but that's really general. What specifically steals your peace? Inner peace, tranquility.
Conflict.
Conflict. Someone had a prayer request about relationships, right? That's hard, especially if they're not going well. What steals your peace? What makes it hard to have it?
Shame.
Shame. Right? So this is negative self-talk and the kind of, like, I will beat myself up. I won't want to share it. And so shame will cause you to run or to hide or to bury that more, faster than anything, right? But then that hurts every other relationship. I mean, it's like this cycle that goes. But then how can I have peace? Because the moment I'm still for a moment, the moment I'm calm, the moment I'm quiet, all the things that I've been running from, all those things start to bubble up. And gone is my peace, right? What else?
The news.
Ooh, the news. But the world we live in will steal your peace. Like, things will be going okay, but I open up the New York Times, you turn on the TV, and it's like, man, something's happening here. There's a natural disaster. There's infighting. There's just craziness, right? And it'll immediately be gone. And I'll think, I'm so small. What I'm doing doesn't matter. Like, I can pour my heart and soul into this, and the world won't change a bit. For how many decades have people been saying, oh, the news, boy, I'll tell you, I was having a good day until I read the newspaper. Forever? So you think to yourself, man, I can't make any difference. I'm so small and the world's problems are so big. That steals my peace. And it's a lie, by the way, right? If enough of us believe it, then that might be true. But if enough of us stop believing it, then change happens. Peace is a hard thing to come by. And again, I'm not going to talk about like violence and conflict in those ways. I want to talk about in our hearts, in our souls, in our homes, in our relationships, this kind of peace. And I want it back. This time of year, it's supposed to be a focus, and this time of year, it's often the last thing we have. I've talked to Jenny, Tim, myself. It's like, thank God every month's not December, Because there's just too many things to do. And there's too many, I mean, everyone's trying to ramp up to have charitable organization, whether it's a dinner, whether it's an event, whether it's a, I mean, there's so much happening. There's Christmas parties and there's gifts to get for every person in our lives. And suddenly peace is gone. How, this is crazy to me. How do I fall into it every year? This doesn't make any sense. And yet we know it and we do it anyway. That's the definition of insanity, right? Like, maybe next year I'll do the same thing and it'll be totally different. I know what'll work. The same thing. And so, like, we issue challenges at church. We say, this Advent, we will focus less on giving gifts and we will focus more on peace and prayer. But then I get caught up and I don't do it either, right? Like, I challenge you, but then I end up as peaceless as anyone else. Is that a word? It is now. Have you ever read a philosophy book? We just make things up. Dasein, whatever. Now you know what it is. It's gone. Like, it's stolen. And I want to reclaim it. So part of this is like, well, what would that look like to reclaim it? And I'm not going to give you every way to capture peace. I'm not even going to give you a foolproof plan. I'm going to say, here are some things that maybe would help. Maybe would help. Peace comes with confession. You don't have peace in part because you don't want anyone to really see you. You don't want to acknowledge all the ways that you're not the person you want to be. And we have this horrible self-talk, and so then we hide it. And so I put on a face in every party, every meeting, every interaction, and I refuse to be brutally honest with myself and with God and with other people. But when you actually are, when I actually am in a place like this, where who will love me unconditionally, where I can be, that creates peace. Like, I'm literally loved just as I am. I'm a child of God, no matter what I've done, no matter what I'm doing. There's hope for me. That means I get to share my failures. I get to share my anxieties. I get to share my crazy internal self-talk. And I have people that will say, I see you and I love you. That's peace. Right? So, at some point, I'm going to incorporate this into a series somehow. And maybe for some of you, this is controversial. That's not my intent. Like, I think we have a lot to learn from the LGBTQIA community about coming out. So, like, there's these stories about coming out, like saying, this is who I am. This is what's inside of me. Sometimes, like, I don't even know what to do with it. But there's, like, a reaching out to mom, to dad, to friends, and not always to great results, as you know, right? That can be a terrifying proposition. How will I be responded to, right? So I am not gay, but I hide a lot of who I am. I have a closet where I like to keep things, and that keeps me from having peace. I have a lot to learn about the courage it takes to lay bare the things about me that other people might not like, that other people might reject, so that I might be able to find people that will love me just as I am, right? So I have this place where I hide things, and peace comes when I'm willing to confess, to share. Now, I have to do it wisely, right? I'm not asking you to share everything to everybody. I'm suggesting that you find people that you can trust and that you can be yourself with, and that's a road to feeling like, ah, like I'm loved. I'm safe. Don't be afraid. Like, the church's words to everyone when they come in the door, like, the church, our words should be, don't be afraid. You belong here. You have nothing to fear. Right? This is the exact place you belong. You are a child of God. Like, everyone, no matter what, that's peace. I think peace comes when we decide we're going to work for it. I wish I could tell you that hope and joy and peace were, like, easy, right? Like, sit down for a moment and, like, pet your dog and you'll have peace. Like, I wish it was like that. But it takes some time to say, I'm going to change the habits of my life to carve out margins where I can be quiet, I can breathe, I can pray, I can read, I can sit, listen to a Christmas song, stare at my Christmas tree, sit with my children, slow my life down. Peace comes when I cut things out, when I slow down. The word I would use is like participate in mindfulness. For those of you that are interested, by the way, in maybe doing some of this, I would talk to DJ, who does mindfulness practices throughout the Treasure Valley. He leads them. They're amazing, right? It's like part meditation, part yoga, part prayer. They're deeply Christian. But it takes discipline. I hate that word. Oh, it's the worst. I just want to go to the gym once and have a six-pack, right? That's all I want. I want the Rocky montage. I want the Eye of the Tiger to start, and by the time Eye of the Tiger ends, I am yoked. But that never happens, and what it requires is like a kind of reshifting of my habits so that peace and margins become a part of it, and they're just not. That's just not how Americans operate. We're praised. Just for a minute, like a thought experiment. Imagine if you like came to work, like if I came to work and they said, Joe, wow, how are things going? How was your weekend? I did nothing. I was lazy. I stayed in my pajamas. My coworkers would be like, really? That's weird because I graded and published an article and did this or that. But if I say, oh, I'm so stressed, I was working, all that, it's like, I feel you, man, I feel you. There's like, we all get praised for being workaholics. We get praised for being so productive. And we're looked down on for drawing boundaries, for having margins, for doing less. Well, good luck having peace. Like, searching out peace is countercultural. It means I'm going to live into the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of the world. My life's going to operate according to a different logic. But it takes a lot of work. So it's like you intentionally saying, what might I do, right? So I'm going to share a story from the congregation, and then I'll close. The story comes from Ron Huckins, who I don't think is here today. Oh, no! Oh! And it was great because it's one of these things where he shared it just with me, and he's like, I don't really talk about this very much, and when you hear the story, you'll know why. But then he was like, you know what, I'm fine. You can share it with the congregation. And I'm so appreciative because these are the kinds of things that will matter to people, right? More than anything I say, sharing stories. And so Ron shared a story with me. 1977, I try to get a picture, right? It's 1977, he is 19 years old, he is freshly into the army, he's stationed in West Germany. This is when we still had West and East Germany, right? Not great. He's near the border of it. It's a foggy, cold night in Germany. He's got an M16 flap jacket. He is tasked with monitoring the perimeter. And it's pretty clear orders. There was a terrorist organization that I can't pronounce, but they were ramping up activity over the months before this. And so there was a heightened alert. So like fog and cold, right? He's alone. And essentially the orders are if you encounter any other people, you're supposed to have a warning in English. You repeat it in German. And they're supposed to hopefully respond like, oh, I'm just a fellow soldier or something, right? You hope it's not an enemy of some kind. But if they don't respond after the third attempt, you're to shoot to kill. These are his orders, right? Like at that point, if they don't respond after three times, you do your duty, right? So 19-year-old Ron, in the midst of fog and low visibility by himself, assumes in his mind, right, like, everything's going to be fine. This is what we tell ourselves, right? Like, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's happened for a while. And then, sure enough, he sees two figures, like, off into the woods, right, like, hiding behind a tree. So he takes cover in a ditch and yells out the command and gets no response. And he yells out the command and he gets no response. And so he's raising his weapon. And the way he describes it is there was this peaceful voice, this like very calm voice that simply said, don't shoot. And then he could feel the barrel of his gun get lowered, like someone was pushing down on the barrel of his gun.
Wow.
So he called out again, the warning in German and English and nothing. So there's a phone, right, where you can call back. And so he calls the sergeant to let them know. And the sergeant says, follow orders. You called out three times without a response, then you protect the platoon, you follow orders. And so he hangs up and he goes back and there's no response. And again, he hears this voice, very calm, "Don't shoot." And the barrel of his gun is pushed down. And so he goes back to the phone, and this time he goes above his sergeant's head. I mean, he's doing everything wrong. Like, literally, you're 19 years old. You're like, you're not following orders. He goes over the head of his sergeant. Well, they bring in a special unit to clear the forest. He said it happens almost like 30 seconds. You know, he's got, and they find two 12-year-old boys lost in the woods. And so, you know, he gets rushed in and chewed out and all of that. And so the last line of the email, he says, I got in trouble for not following orders. Or maybe I was following orders. So the voice, like, when you say don't shoot, I hear don't be afraid. I hear the angel of the Lord. I hear God does not come to bring anxiety and violence and fear. God comes to bring hope and joy and peace. This calm voice that says don't shoot is a bringer of peace. This is a criteria. This is like a rubric. This is a way of saying, this is why I think this is God. This isn't indigestion. This is the Lord. I'm so grateful you listened. My prayer is that my heart might be tuned the way yours was, that I might be able to hear that still small voice, the presence of God that comes to bring peace, that comes to bring hope. So I challenge you, and then we will pray. If you want to experience real joy that's not dependent on circumstances, practice gratitude. Practice writing it out. Practice saying it to your family over and over, the things you're grateful for. If you want hope, we practice trust. Trust God a little bit more. Stretch yourself a little bit more. I promise you God's going to show up, and that trust will lead to hope. If you want peace, practice confession. Practice simplifying. Practice slowing down. Practice mindfulness, and you'll have peace. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful that your angels come to tell us to not be afraid. And my prayer is that for every person in here filled with deep anxiety, deep insecurity, the kind that just affects every area of their life, that you would give them peace, security, confidence, love, joy. Amen. Please stand for our closing song.